every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack. When you're done, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFAIR.
Wow, that's a lot of letters.
It is. It's like the Chinese alphabet.
Yeah.
2,000 characters.
Happy New Year to all the Chinese, by the way.
A little bit late, but yeah.
Well, it's today.
We'll do that.
Today's weeks New Year's.
Today's New Year's. Huh?
Today's New Year's. Chinese New Year's today.
Today?
Yeah, by the time the show goes up, it'll be a couple weeks.
Well, yeah, by the time the show goes up. Yeah.
Well, then, Gong Hai Fat Choi.
Gong Hai Fat Choi? Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? See, I don't... I can say a couple things in Vietnamese. Go Cap Chap Tap Lam. That's, you have great legs.
Oh, I thought that was pour me a beer, I'm going to the restroom.
Yeah. It could have been, for all I know. It's like when I was in college. Oh, by the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly.
And Mark.
When I was in Oregon, we had these Japanese exchange students. They would always come up and they'd look at people wearing, like, shirts, and they'd go, oh, that's so cool. Can you get me one of those? And it would say, like, Joe's Plumbing or something. And they're like, wow, that's really cool. And then we'd go around, and this is back in the 80s when, like, the Japanese rock and roll shirts were, like, popular, and they'd have, like, uh-huh. Japanese.
Right.
And my friend Yas would look and go, why would he wear that? And I'm like, why? And it's like some buff dude with a sleeveless thing. It's got all this, you know, bonsai lettering across it. And he goes, well, it says Gentle Butterfly. I don't know why he'd wear that. And I go, for the same reason you'd wear Mike's Plumbing, because he thinks it looks cool.
I have a pair of earrings that I bought, actually, at that iTex fair we went to. And I just, the gal said that it was like a Buddhist chant thing. And I said, okay, whatever. I always assume when I'm buying something like that, that it probably says something like, stupid American chick buys cheap crap. But
it probably does.
I think it looks cool.
The chick at iTex isn't going to tell you that.
No, yeah. But somebody told me, our friend London actually told me the other day that it actually does say Om.
How would she know?
She's got it tattooed on her neck. She looked it up.
Oh, okay.
She has a tattooed on her neck?
Yes.
Oh, on the back of her neck?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not like all, you know, gangland style.
No, it's just a little Om on the back of her neck. No.
Big giant letters. I had a gal come in my store the other day.
Yeah.
big letters, like in kind of a semicircle across her chest that said, only God can judge me, and judge was spelled wrong.
How could you possibly spell judge wrong?
J-U-G-E, it said. And I was
only God can juggy me?
Yeah, I was like, ooh, wow. And I don't think she even realized. I'm like, oh, interesting tat. She's like, yeah, I got it done a couple months ago. And I'm like.
I'd look at her and say, no, actually, I can judge you. And I'm judging that you are not a great speller.
Yeah. And there's, you know what? On lettering like that, there's no way to fix that. The only thing she could do is, like, put some, like, wildly, you know, weaving snake across her chest or something. Because you can't fix lettering. It's done.
I saw a story today about a gal in Russia who had her boyfriend's name tattooed on her face, right across her face. Like, half his name is on one cheek and the other half on the other cheek.
And he saw it and broke up with her.
No, they're still together. They're still together. But the letters are like 3.5 inches high.
Oh.
Right across her face. She was a really pretty girl, and then she got this freaking crap tattooed all over her face.
I saw one on a tattoo thing. This guy's got a picture of his girlfriend tattooed on his arm. And when he broke up with the girl, this guy went in and turned it into, like, this fiendish creature-like thing. I'm like, nice. Cover that. Get that out of the way. Well, you know what that means.
What's that mean?
It's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Oh, that was sweet.
Yes, dude.
Okay.
Yes, dude.
Let's see. We have shout-outs to Brian, Bill.
Who's Brian?
Donald, I think, maybe. Or I could be wrong. Shout-out to Donald. Oh, and we have a shout-out to my friend Paul R. I messed up his shipment of 12-step-related material to the place where he's at right now, and I'm very sorry about that, but I said I would give you a shout-out, so here's your shout-out.
What do you mean,
and I'm
messed
glad
up
you got
a shipment?
Shout-out,
I'll explain it later, sweetie. But I'm glad you got your books. Okay, in Anaheim.
I almost said it.
I know.
I was in Anaheim last night.
Three female pedestrians were killed by a drunk driver Saturday night.
State College Boulevard?
They were walking. The really sad part is they were walking home from a baby shower.
Oh.
Oh. Not Hookers.
Yeah, and Anthony Lewis Sanchez.
Baby.
Just pretty much plowed him over. He was drunk. They were declared. One was declared dead at the scene. The other two died at the trauma center.
Oh man! Don't drink and drive over females.
That's bad. Yeah. Well, anybody. That's just sad. Here's an interesting. Bill sent. You know, Bill's the king of the studies. Bill sent this one in. It was. I thought this was really interesting.
Is there funding available for this?
I guess there was at some point.
All right.
And I can't, where did it, oh, Northern Kentucky University. Strange place for a study, but they did a study.
Nothing else to do.
They've discovered in preliminary studies, they're going to do secondary studies because this was a small study to start with. They found that when you mix liquor with diet soda, you get drunk faster and your blood alcohol concentration is higher.
Well, that's what happened to me.
Wow.
If you mix it with regular soda,
It's lower.
It's lower.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. That was my problem.
You know what? So all you guys are lightweights, because I always drank diet with my stuff.
So when I drank rum and Diet Coke, that was the problem?
The theory...
It wasn't
maybe
the rum?
Maybe we're not alcoholics.
It wasn't the rum?
No, it was the Diet Coke.
Alcoholics. It was just affected us more harshly than regular people.
12 of them?
Where was I?
Blah, we don't know. Blah, we stopped right there. That was good enough.
the theory is, and what they're going to be working on in their next test, because in this test they just did the breathalyzer. They're going to do actual pull blood to check the actual blood concentration because they're wondering if the soda changes it. Well, no, it was a small, brief study. They're going to do a more in-depth one based on these findings. But the theory is that the sugars in the regular mixers make the body slow down the rate at which it allows the alcohol into the bloodstream. Because your body will have to separate out the sugars.
Right, so what it's doing is it's processing all the sugar,
right,
like all the sugar, including the sugar from the regular soda, instead of just processing the sugar from the alcohol.
Right, which goes right into your system. So,
do you know that right now, there's people all over the world that are like, I heard it on Recovery 101, we got to drink this with Tab.
Yeah.
You drink this with Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke.
Hey, get them here faster.
You know what you can do? You can pour a package of Sweet and Low out on the table and draw it into a line say, look, Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
That is such an old joke.
Pepsi free.
I made that joke up. I'm sure I'm not the only guy that made it up. But.
In St. Mary's, Idaho, there is a new group of survivalists. They've bought land. It's in the in Benoit County, which only...
Wait a minute. Benoit County.
Benoit.
Oh. Never mind.
Do you even know, Shelly?
Yes, I know where you're going with that, and you're not going there because it's Benoit.
Do they play basketball there?
Benoit.
They have Benoit
balls.
Shut up. Anyway, there are only 9,000 people that live there. However, if this group that wants to create this... What do you want to call it? They're calling it a community of liberty. But the thing is called the Citadel. It's a giant walled fortress. It will double the population of the county if they're allowed to build it.
Wow.
They're calling this a grassroots endeavor to keep people safe during what they believe is the coming decline and disintegration of the country.
They've been watching the last 3 years. What have they been waiting for?
Yeah,
yeah, they're slow.
You know what's funny, though? People are like, well, we're doing this so we can protect ourselves against our own government. Yeah, like building a concrete fortress is going to save you from a couple bunker-busting bombs.
Yeah.
Not really. Yeah. Yeah. If entire military forces of other countries that have millions or billions to spend can't keep us from bombing their crap, I'm pretty sure these guys in Idaho don't have much of a chance.
Yep.
Which is kind of sad to say, that our own citizens aren't going to have much of a chance.
Now, here's something strange out of Salt Lake City. Obviously, Brian sent this to me. I would think that this would be a no-brainer, and I'm pretty sure that this is actually assault in California. Yeah. But they are actually trying to put through a law. They have a bill that's going to be voted on that would make spitting a misdemeanor offense. Apparently, right now, you can spit on people in Utah, and it's not an offense.
No, llamas are safe.
I guess so. But the law is specific to people that know they are infected with HIV, hepatitis B, or C. And then they spit on someone, and their saliva has to come in contact with the person's face or an open wound.
Okay.
That seems very specific to
me.
Yeah,
it does. I understand that.
Besides being disgusting.
Hey, as a HIV public service announcement, there's words going around that people are taking infected needles and putting them underneath the handles of gas dispensers at gas stations. So watch your fingers.
Why would you do that?
Because people are sick.
We might want to look that up on Snopes, because I heard something similar to that a few years ago.
Don't look it up on Snopes. Snopes is as bad as all the other anything else.
So we were talking about that the other day. I was wondering about Snopes.
Yeah, no. Snopes is not where you go look to check things anymore.
Well, you know what it used to be? Before it was Snopes, there was a place called UrbanLegends.com. And their thing was mostly... They didn't put anything on that site that was true. They would only put stuff on, like, where someone would bag on something some company did, and they'd be like, they didn't actually do that. I know this email says they did it, but they didn't. This thing, Snopes has got tons of things where they're saying, oh, that's true, that's true, that's true. The thing is, the idea of Urban Legends was to disperse urban legends.
Dispel, not disperse.
Well, disperse as well, all over the world.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
It's spread them everywhere.
Yeah.
In Flagstaff, Arizona, this is...
Been there many times.
This is one of those things where you kind of go, ooh, somebody's in trouble now.
It's a nice area, too.
At the White Mountain Apache Detention Center. It's on tribal ground. They have a jail, obviously, because
apparently,
people get in trouble.
It's a detention center.
Emmanuel Burnett.
What?
No relation to us. Was,
are you sure?
Well, I'm pretty sure his name's spelled with an extra E at the end.
Yeah, well, that doesn't mean anything.
He was jailed on charges of assault and being, drunk in public. Now, he is going to be charged with, basically, they're calling it engaging in sexual act with a woman against her will, which is rape. The reason why people are going to lose their jobs is because the deputy who arrested him knowingly locked him into a cell with the woman, because he said that there was overcrowding at the jail and he didn't have any place else to put him.
Now, wait a minute.
Can you imagine being the woman who was in jail? She was also in jail for drunk in public. Can you imagine being her, locked in a cell, and you can't get away from somebody who's raping you?
You're locked in. Was he doing it there?
Yeah, right there. And nobody came to help her or anything.
I'd say that's a lawsuit.
Yeah. You think?
For what?
Now,
what do you mean for what?
Is the guy, well, he's got a name of Burnett. The guy's not Indian, right?
If he is, you got a shot at opening a casino.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was on tribal grounds. He was in the I don't know if he is. It doesn't say in the story whether he's native or not. And her name is not given.
I had a guy come in my store the other day.
How much crime's done on this reservation that they had overcrowding in their jail?
Well, the problem is that the jail is like 100 years old and there's only like 3 or 4 cells.
Oh, okay.
And they claim they don't have the money.
Are you kidding? If it's one of those jails, it's probably got bars that you can look right through. No one saw this?
That's why people are going to get in trouble, because nobody came to her aid.
I can see that the drunk cop is like, it's like watching porn. Internet's down.
Check this out.
Internet's down. Put that guy in that cell at her.
They may also be in trouble because they were given, in 2009, the tribe was given almost $1 million in stimulus funding.
Of course.
To renovate their detention center. Well, but they haven't done anything.
Yeah, they put in a camera system so they can video rapes going on.
I'll do this one last one. In Paris.
The Frenchies?
Apparently they are quite disgusted because it has been discovered that Romanian, Dutch, and Cypriot traders were part of a supply chain that ended up with horse meat being put into food in France, basically in lasagnas and casseroles and in ground beef.
Yeah.
They were calling it beef, but it was actually horse meat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're all up in arms over this. The French are. You know how they are about their food. But here's what I don't get. They're all ticked off because their ground beef wasn't really beef. It was horse meat. But in most of France, horse meat is regulated and sold in specialty butcher shops as a delicacy, which grosses me out. But
well, they're pissed because they didn't know.
You'd think they'd be all excited. Ooh, it was ground horse. Then it must be better.
Yeah. I thought when you said that France was disgusted, I thought they were going to figure out that they heard that the song by Marie Chevalier, Thank Heaven for Little Girls, sounded very pedophiliac. Thank heaven for little girls, because little girls get bigger every day.
Yes, thank you for that.
That used to creep me out. I'd be like, this guy's looking at little girls going, ah-ha-ha. It's a creepy dude.
All right, and that is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
We're back from the drive-thru. Shelly was just talking about the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Shelly, of course, is in the middle of eating, so unfortunately she can't comment on any of this. She's not even attempting to.
She's shrugging, which doesn't play well on the radio.
No. Yeah, well, they don't hear it that well.
Yeah.
What do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know either. What's the topic?
You said welcome back.
Yes.
You know what you should say.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's exactly it. So, Mark.
What?
What's your worth, man?
Yeah.
We had a suggestion.
$2.84.
We had a suggestion.
Ooh, I'm richer than you. I had $27 and change.
All right.
We had a suggestion from a show listener named Mark, who...
Mike.
Huh?
It was Mike.
Oh, Mike. Pardon me. Oops. Mike, Mark. Mark's here.
Yeah.
Mike made the suggestion.
Mike made the suggestion.
And he had said that he was having some problems with self-worth, and how did we, if we had those problems, how did we get over those problems? If we had sponsees that had those issues, what did we tell them to get over those issues? And so there you have it, Shelly, since you asked.
Okay. So why don't you attack this?
I don't have them.
I know, you've always thought you were that in a bag of chips.
You know what, though? When I was young, I did, though. I had a lot. When I was before I ever drank or used, I had a lot of that because before I got diabetes, I was way smaller than most of the other people. Like when I was in seventh grade, I was about 5'3 and about 75 pounds. And I used to get picked on a lot and everyone because I was way smaller than everyone else. After I got diabetes,
You had a big brother.
I went away for the summer, and I came back, and I was 5'11 and, you know, 155. And everyone was like, oh, my God, what happened? I mean, I, like, doubled my weight and added, like 6 or 7 inches in height. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, the steroids will do that to you.
But I didn't really have to work through the issues then because suddenly I got all the size and everything, and then no one treated me differently anymore.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you what, when I was drinking, I was awesome. I danced way better when I was drunk. I had much more muscle. I was great looking when I drank. I sang awesome. I danced awesome. I was God's gift to women when I was drunk.
And what happened before the drink?
No, it was after the drink.
Yeah, what happened before the drink? That's what the drink was for.
I said, let's go drinking.
That's right. Need to pump me up.
You pump you up. How about you, Shelly?
Just waiting to see what the question would be.
It's not really a question. I mean, I said before what the topic would be is, you know, did you ever have those issues? What did you do about them? Did you have sponsees that had them? So that was kind of the question.
I had massively serious self-esteem issues for years.
And what did you do to alleviate yourself of them?
It was kind of an issue with my program because I'd gone through all the steps and I was still miserable. And I was just talking about this the other night. And, I'd worked on some amends, I'm still working on some living amends. Been of service. I got to the 12th step doing outreach work, blah, blah, blah. And I'm still miserable. And I was getting more miserable. And I was, anything other than a mind-altering substance, I was doing things designed to hurt myself. Absolutely no self-esteem whatsoever. And just negative tapes constantly playing in my head. And so, you know, obviously my sponsor was concerned about this. So I was meeting with her actually at that time about twice a week and doing tons of writing. I have notebooks and notebooks and notebooks in the house just full of all this negative crap writing. I mean, just she would have me, you know, give me worksheets and have me write on steps on this stuff. And
did it help?
No.
Oh.
Actually, all that amazing amounts of introspective writing just made me feel worse. It just made me more and more and more depressed. And I woke up one morning and thought, you know what? I'm really sick of me. I'm sick of all of this. I don't want to deal with this crap anymore. And it happened over the course of a couple of weeks. I mean, you guys remember 2 summers ago.
Oh, you were a mess.
Yeah. I was like on the verge of ending up again being committed to charter again. It was really bad. But then over the course of a couple of weeks, when I decided I was just sick of me, I was sick of thinking about myself. I was just done. And it suddenly clicked in my
head. Kind of like alcohol.
It suddenly clicked in my head that I wasn't going to get the gifts of the program unless I decided that I was worth the gifts of the program.
Being worthy.
Wow. That would have been good final words right there.
And when that happened, everything in my life, like, literally fell into place. My head cleared out. Everything. I mean, you know, I was talking to my sponsor once. She said, wow, you changed a lot. And I don't want to go back to that place.
No.
You know, interestingly enough, though, this weekend I had an incident where some woman tried to get me fired because I didn't do preschool story time up to her standards. And I actually was feeling bad about that.
Oh, yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Visibly.
I mean, and the funny thing is that now I've gotten to the place where I'm comfortable with myself and I feel good about myself. So then I take a hit to my ego and I've spent the whole weekend like, the program part fighting to push back the negativity.
Yeah, I saw her the other day, and she was out here sitting where, in the studio where Mark's sitting right now, and I looked at her, I go, That woman's still living rent-free in your head, isn't she? Like, yes. Like, yes, she is.
Yep.
How about you, Mark?
You know, Shelley touched on something I find when I go and be of service. Anything I can do to get out of self. Because I don't deal with self-worth, self-esteem. I get past all that, and what I do is I get grateful.
Well, you don't... I mean, I wouldn't... Certainly, there's some people you look at, and right off the bat, you'd say, oh, that person's got a self-esteem issue. Mm-hmm. Then there's people that you look at, and you go, I don't think that person has a self-esteem issue, and they may. Mm-hmm. Because when I look at you, I don't think that you have a self-esteem issue, but...
Oh, I can create one in no time.
No. Can't we all?
Give me 5 minutes.
He goes, give me a few moments alone with KFUK radio in my head.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so it's... You know, it's really valuable to be in meetings and listen to people that are new, share, and working with people who are newer and listening to just the roll of crap that comes out sometimes. And, you know, of course, you can't tell them that. You have to tell them it's really valuable stuff that they're working their way through. And, you know, you go to the default program things that you say.
Yes.
You know, that's really interesting. And you should write about that.
Yeah.
Which means you're full of shit. And you should. So, you know, but I find that the times when I just go, it's not about me. You know?
Yeah.
It's not about me. And I've kind of reached a point in life where it is what it is. You know, life's okay. Because
I'm okay, you're okay.
Yeah, and you and I have said it before. I wasn't supposed to live this long.
No.
I'm on bonus time.
Okay, clearly.
Well aware of that.
Yes.
You know?
When I said before that I didn't really have much issues like that, when I think about it now, when I was in early recovery, I had a lot of that because
God,
I wasn't staying sober. And someone's calling. We're in the middle of recording, so if you want to come by or call back a little bit later, Jimmy. He's like, wow, did he even hear me? When I couldn't stay sober, I had a lot of that. Because I'm looking around at people all the time that are accumulating time, and I'm not. And I'm starting to catch the, here comes a perpetual newcomer again, and here comes this. And I got to tell you, that may have actually helped spur me on at some point, because there comes a time, I think like Shelley said, she came to a point where she just said, oh, my God, you know, I'm tired of this. And I don't remember that being a thing that I thought of when I got sober this last time, but I remember being sick and tired of being the new guy all the time. And I was, you know, not happy with taking the newcomer chip over and over and over and over and over again. And I really, truly, and James, my friend James will tell you the same thing. I'm sure that probably 30-40% of my recovery is based on the fact that my ego wouldn't be able to handle it if I went out again. I mean, I don't think my ego could take me going out again. I think that's one of the things. I can't even conceptualize taking a newcomer chip again. I can't see it happening. I mean, I will do anything not to get loaded now.
I think that's the issue with people with time who go out is how do you come back?
Yeah, why they have such a hard time.
Yeah, you just have to go out there and die.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Well, part of for something I've seen in some people and in myself, specifically myself, part of having low self-esteem and not having any self-worth is that, you know, we do this whole switching addictions thing. You stop getting loaded and beating yourself up, being down on yourself, is kind of a comfort zone because you know what that feels like. It's not scary to you because you've always been like that. And it becomes like a little feedback loop. You constantly think negative things about yourself. You're constantly beating up on yourself, and it becomes a crutch.
Comfortable sitting in your own shite.
Yeah, and because if you value yourself, that means you actually have to work on yourself, and you have to be a decent person. If you constantly say, you know, well, I'm a crap anyway. I suck anyway. Then you can go ahead and F up all you want because you're an asshole.
I'm number six. Yeah, I'm number
exactly.
six.
So, and it's kind of a crutch. It's your new addiction is feeling bad about yourself. But when you give that up, then you actually have to do the work.
What do you think about that, Mark?
Ooh, doing the work.
Well, let's use that as a shoe-in, a lead-in to another, a segue, if you will.
Yeah.
Sponsees, what would you tell a sponsee who's having low self-esteem issues?
Pray about it.
Yeah,
there's no substitute
that
for
usually
that.
Works.
There's no substitute for that. I mean, it's just how it works, you know. Get out of you. Quit being the most important person in you.
Yeah, I'm a very important person in my own mind.
Yeah.
Everyone else, not so much.
Yeah, I'm not even the most important person in the bathroom when I'm in there by myself. You know?
I don't want to know what the most important thing is.
Holy crap.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. The holy crap is better than I am.
That reminds me, off topic slightly, but when, a former relative of mine, very, very religious, has all this religious stuff up all over her house. I go into her bathroom one day, and I'm sitting on the po, and I look over at the toilet roll dispenser, and it has this little crocheted cover on it with this little embroidered plaque that reads, "In all you do, do it for the glory of God." And I'm thinking, I really don't want to take this crap for the glory of God.
Wow.
In all you do.
Do it for the glory of God. I'm
in
like,
all you do,
wow.
Do.
This bud's for you.
In all you do, do. Wow.
In all you do, do.
I just really didn't, I mean, you know, I love God and everything, but I just really didn't need to see that on the toilet.
It was crocheted?
Yes.
I'd have used it.
Yeah, nice. And
watch
then put
this.
It back up.
Watch this.
Then put it back up.
I did that for
I
the
did
glory
it for
of
the
God.
Glory of God. Now, Shelley, Mark says he would have someone pray.
Yes.
What would you do? Would you do what your sponsor did with you? Write 12 million pages on other stuff?
Write 12 million pages. Well, her philosophy is that, you know, pain is a great motivator. You know, if when you're in enough pain, you'll do the work. And that maybe, was what I needed to do at the time.
Maybe she made you write to piss you off enough that you'd actually do your work to get out of it.
She was probably sick of listening to me complain about crap, so she figured she'd just keep me busy until I got over it. Which, you know, was a valid...
It's kind of the opposite. You know what, though? In a weird way, though, it's like the opposite of getting out of self. It's like, let's take some severe introspection of how crappy you are.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wow.
Okay, if I say I'm not so bad, can I stop?
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, then what would your final words on low self-esteem and how to get rid of it be? Pause.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. You are, and I mean that you and the collective you, all of you, everyone listening, you are a beautiful person. You have many special talents and many special gifts, and if you don't believe that now, keep coming back and you will.
Damn.
Yay!
Wow, she just threw that out there like a boss.
Yeah.
Mark, take your time because I don't have one.
Okay.
So go ahead.
I had I heard a guy share in a meeting one time, this girl was going on about just how crappy things were, and he said to her, he says, just remember, this too shall pass. He said, the only problem is when it does and things get better, just remember, that too shall pass.
Yeah.
You know, just live your life. I mean, enjoy the fact you're not getting loaded anymore. You're a better person now than you were when you were out there.
And you're still sucking air.
That's right.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, for me, when I was going in and out, I finally sort of did with my low self-esteem what I did with alcohol, is I got to the point where it was effing me up so bad that I had to say, whoa, wait a minute. I need to do something different, because up till that time, I never listened to anybody. I mean, I went to meetings, I did lip service, I could recite stuff, but I never really worked on anything. And if I was really honest with myself, I mean, I had a couple of sponsors and stuff, and I just never did what was required to get to where the promises were. It tells you right in the book, you know, the promises will start to show up about halfway through your ninth step. You know, if you're trying recovery and you've made it to your third step or your fifth step or your sixth or your seventh, you can't even expect all the promises yet. And if you work all the steps, I believe you will get there, you know. And I believe kind of what Shelly said, you know, you're definitely worth it. You just may not realize it yet. But if you keep coming back, you will. So, Shelly.
Yes?
Who's our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat stuck in the snow.
Yes.
He's got his white meat is stuck in the snow.
I saw an
frozen white meat, I think, right now.
I saw an awesome picture. You know, a lot of places having power outages and stuff because of all this massive amounts of snow. Person opened their back door, snow almost up to the lintel, you know. So they carved out these depressions in this wall of snow and stuck all their cold food in it and then shut the back door.
I've seen pictures like
that.
I've seen pictures like that where you open the back door and it's just a solid snowbank and these guys have all their beer in it.
Yeah.
Good thinking, guys.
Where was I? Oh, yes. He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Mark.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
How are they doing that?
Well, I know how we'd like them to do it.
Yeah. We'd like them to go to recovery101.net.
Awesome.
And click on the current show. Be a little box pop-up asking you if you are yet a member of Podomatic. Please join Podomatic, in which case you can then go up and you can comment on shows. And you can leave show topics in the comments.
You can.
Like them. Add us to playlists. And follow us on recovery101.net.
Nice. Don't forget to click our sponsor links, too. Some of them, you know, some of them are pretty cool to check out anyway. And check out the Lead Out Music bands as well. You know, they graciously let us use their music for free. So if you hear stuff and you like it, go to their websites, maybe buy a CD or something. They're pretty good.
Or tell them you heard them here.
Absolutely. Just put it in the comments. Hey, I heard you on Recovery 101. We've got email addresses at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. That's where you want to send your Recovery Idol jingle
really?
For us. Which
to Recovery 101 Sales?
Interestingly enough.
No, Recovery 101 Sales is where you send the jingle.
Is that what
yeah,
I said?
Yeah, that's what she said.
Sorry. recovery101radio@gmail.com.
That'd be the one.
If you'd like to buy advertising from us, Recovery 101 Radio Sales, or if you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, I think everyone must have jobs.
I know.
Because we're not getting a lot of emails.
Although you did get an inquiry about...
I did, about a media,
about media
kit.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. And we've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly, do we do that?
Not usually.
Not
perfect.
Ever.
Who's the lead out music by?
Booby Trap.
Booby Trap. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.